Our study tonight is finishing up the book of Habakkuk, Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 1 through 19, Habakkuk's example of living by faith. Habakkuk trusted in the Lord, but he struggled to understand how God, who was good and all-powerful, would function at times seemingly indifferent to the existence of great evil in the world. The book of Habakkuk thus is a theodicy. That means it's a defense of God's goodness and power in view of the existence of evil. After God explained his justice in punishing Israel by a Babylonian invasion, only later to punish Babylon by its being invaded, but that the just would survive the invasion by faith, God's prophet in Habakkuk 3, 1-19, applied the message, exampling how the godly are to live by faith. So we view this passage for our application. I want to read the chapter and then we'll look at it. Habakkuk chapter 3, 1-19. A prayer of Habakkuk the prophet upon Shigionoth. Apparently that might be a tune or a liturgical use. O Lord, I've heard thy speech and I was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years make it known. In wrath remember mercy. God came from Timan, and the Holy One from Mount Paran, Selah. His glory covered the heavens, and the earth full of his praise. And his brightness was as the light. He had horns coming out of his hand, that would be lightning, and there was the hiding of his power. Before him went the disease, and burning coals went forth at his feet. He stood and measured the earth. He beheld and drove asunder the nations. The everlasting mountains were scattered. The perpetual hills did bow. His ways are everlasting. I saw the tents of Cushan in affliction, and the curtains of the land of Midian did tremble. Was the Lord displeased against the rivers? Was thine anger against the rivers? Was thy wrath against the sea? But thou didst ride upon thine horses and thy chariots of salvation. Thy bow was made quite naked, according to the oaths of the tribes, even thy word, Selah. Thou didst cleave the earth with rivers. The mountains saw thee, and they trembled. The overflowing of the water passed by. The deep uttered his voice and lifted up his hands on high. The sun and moon stood still in their habitation. At the light of thine arrows they went, and at the shining of thy glittering spear. Thou didst march through the land in indignation. Thou didst thresh the Gentiles in anger. Thou wentest forth for the salvation of thy people, even for salvation with thine anointed. Thou woundest the head out of the house of the wicked by discovering the foundation under the neck, Selah. Thou didst strike through with his staves the head of his villages. They came out as a whirlwind to scatter me. Their rejoicing was as to devour the poor secretly. Thou dost walk through the sea with thine horses and through the heap of great waters. When I heard, my belly trembled. My lips quivered at the voice. Rottenness entered into my bones, and I trembled in myself, that I might rest in the day of trouble. When he cometh up unto the people, he will invade them with his troops. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, the fields shall yield no produce, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon mine high places. And then to the chief singer on my stringed instruments. Apparently that's a reference to the musicians there. Okay, wonderful passage here. Habakkuk responded to God's news that he would use Babylon to punish Judah and then punished Babylon as the just survived by faith, and he did so by a prayer of submission and a request for mercy. Verses 1 and 2. First, Habakkuk submitted to the Lord's plan to punish Judah and then to punish Babylon, acknowledging that he was satisfied with God's ways of dealing with him. Did you catch that here? He says in verse 2, O Lord, I have heard thy speech and I was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known. So go ahead. That's your will. You want to bring the Babylonians in. They're going to crush our people. then you're going to go after the Babylonians. Okay, I get it. I accept it. However, Habakkuk also asked that God in his wrath and judgment might remember mercy. It's a very famous line, in wrath remember mercy. That God might cause Judah to survive Babylon's invasion, for God to fulfill his Abrahamic covenant, as implied back in Habakkuk 1:12, and for the godly remnant to which Habakkuk belonged to survive the invasion by faith. That's what he mentioned in Habakkuk 2:4. Incidentally, this phrase, in wrath remember mercy, that theme comes out in the book of Revelation. Remember in the book of Revelation, God is seen, and there's a rainbow about him. And the rainbow is an emerald rainbow. The emerald colors represents mercy, actually, or grace. And God is getting ready to express his wrath on the world with the great tribulation. And in wrath, he remembers mercy. And the mercy is he's going to preserve Israel as a nation, even though a lot of the Jewish people will die. And there are going to be many, many people from every tongue, nation, and tribe who come to faith in Christ during the Great Tribulation. So in wrath, he remembers mercy. So that's what that green... Incidentally, I learned that one night. A police recruiter called me down to the church. It was during my vacation because one of the doors was unlocked. So I came down. It was about 10:30 at night. So I got up out of bed and came down here. And as I was coming, there was an African-American pastor who was on WIHS. And he talked about the green rainbow and what that meant in wrath remember mercy. And that's where I learned it from. I wouldn't have learned it if the door was not unlocked. But the Lord had that door allowed to be unlocked, so I come down, lock it, I could hear. So it's wonderful how the Lord teaches in odd times like that. The prophet Habakkuk then witnessed a vision from the Lord about his great majesty and power that had been shown in Israel's past and would also be applied in God's future deliverance of the nation. When God had arrived on Mount Sinai, Moses had said the Lord's appearance was like a light shining from Seir and from Mount Paran. These are mountains in that area of Sinai. Habakkuk thus wrote of this earlier divine visitation at Mount Sinai. He did it in Habakkuk 3:3a. Then God's glory then covered the heavens and his praise filled the earth. Of course, remember the Lord came down on Mount Sinai and there was this huge fire that was consuming the tops, and the granite rocks were torn and ripped apart because of the very presence of God. Then the Lord's judgments were then recalled in Israel's history. And this is fascinating. The judgment of disease on Egypt. The plagues on Egypt in Exodus chapters 7 to 12 is recalled in Habakkuk 3:5. Then God's judgment on the rivers in Exodus chapter 7, 20 to 25, and the sea with Exodus 14, 13 to 31 is noted in Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 8. Then later the Lord caused the sun and the moon to stand still in Joshua chapter 10, verses 12 to 13. That was Joshua's long day. And that's recalled in Habakkuk 3:11. Accordingly, these past judgments of this vision that Habakkuk saw were the precedents for God's future judgments on his enemies, Habakkuk 3:12, and his deliverance of Israel. It's interesting. God never wanted Israel to forget that he had delivered her from Egypt. I'm the God that brought thee up out of Egypt. And he brought Israel up out of Egypt with a very powerful hand. And God still wants Israel to remember that because he's going to use that same power in the Great Tribulation. He's going to be performing very powerful, obvious miracles to save his people. He's going to split the Mount of Olives east and west, and part of that mountain's going to move north, part of it's going to move south. There's going to be a valley between, and the remnant will flee out that going east out of Jerusalem. That's going to be a traumatic experience. And, of course, the Mount, Holy Mount, is going to rise up and be a very, very tall mountain. It might be up 15, 20,000 feet, who knows. But anyway, there are going to be great changes because of the power of God. Well, this vision about God's great power and majesty left Habakkuk trembling in his body, quivering in his lips at the sound, weakened in his bones, shaking in his legs. However, moved to trust the Lord by this vision's demonstration of God's vast power and majesty to preserve his people, even in their imminent judgment, Habakkuk resolved quietly to wait for the time of trouble. God's prophet then described his life of faith in that time of trouble in verses 17 through 19. Though the fig tree not blossom, the vineyards bear no fruit, though the produce of the olive tree fail, the fields yield no food, though the flock be cut off, and there be no herd in the stalls due to the looting of the invaders, Habakkuk would still rejoice in the Lord, the God of his salvation. Now that's interesting because these are the sources of food. So the Babylonians are taking all the food. And how then are even the remnant going to live? Well, the remnant are going to live by faith. So God will provide for them. And of course, remember when the Babylonians came in, Jeremiah the prophet was locked up in the prison, but he got to eat the bread that was in the prison. And then when he was released, the general actually gave him a present and said, you can go wherever you want. And then he recommended that he stay there with Gedaliah. But God took care of those who were godly so that they lived. And then Habakkuk explained that the Lord God was his strength, that he made his feet like the nimble feet of the deer, causing him to tread on his high places. This is all a figurative expression of buoyant joy as he fellowshiped with God, surviving the Babylonian invasion and awaiting Judah's final deliverance. I think what happened is Habakkuk learned to expect the fact that his countrymen, for the most part, were godless. And so many of them would die. And he was going to live to experience this traumatic event. But he was going to rejoice in the midst of it because God had a future for him. He was part of the remnant. He was going to live by faith. And that's something that God wants for every generation of his people. Generally, there's a lot of people who really don't live by faith. But for the few who do, there's tremendous blessing. So the lesson is when Habakkuk submitted to God's plan to use Babylon to punish Judah before he punished Babylon, and to call the just remnant to survive the Babylonian invasion by faith, the Lord revealed his great majesty and power of his past deliverances of Israel as evidence of his motivation and ability to deliver Judah in her future. Armed with this moving revelation, Habakkuk chose to live by faith, regardless what he was going to face in the invasion. So, by way of application, and this is so applicable to us because God wants us to live by faith today, the life of faith in God involves, number one, submitting to the plan that God has for us. That's very, very important. We don't have the right to choose the plan for our lives. God does. He chooses it. And what we need to do is to submit to the plan. And then it's followed by deciding to heed God's call to live by faith. In other words, okay, that's what you want me to do. Let's say God wants you to mop floors as a living. Okay, Lord, if that's what you want me to do, if you want me to mop floors, I will mop floors. And I'm going to live by faith mopping floors. And to that, God will respond to encourage that decision to live by faith by demonstrating his tremendous power, his majesty, and his motivation to help us that we might fellowship with him regardless what trials we face. On December 2nd, Friday, I was coming to the church for the family support group. And I have a Honda Civic, and so I kind of sit low. And behind me was an SUV, and has these bright white lights. And he was higher, and his lights were shining, really shining. So I took my mirror and flipped it up into the nightshade, you know, inside. But the outside mirror was shining in my face, so I took it and I up in the sky. So I could shine it up. And it was still awfully bright, and he was right on my tail. I was entering into the city of Bakersville, town of Bakersville, hamlet of Bakersville. And there wasn't really a place to pull over. I was thinking about pulling off, you know, where you have that little sort of a strip mall, but that was a problem. And he was getting close, and I was thinking, how do I do this? I have two choices, to speed up, to keep this guy off my tail, because he might be, there might be a road rage here or something. But I thought, no, I don't want to speed up. Sometimes the cops, they like to park up here at tree line road or whatever, and I don't want to do that. So I got just beyond where Chris Lake comes out from her house. It was, Bakerville Terrace. And then there was a place to pull off. So I signaled and started to pull off. And as I started to pull off, this guy went around me roaring. I could tell he was mad. I said, thank God he's gone. So he took off. He had a green light at Route 219. He kept going. Eventually he was out of sight, but little did he know that there was a cop down there. And he had his radar gun, so he went after him. So before I got to the church, I went by the fellows, and I almost stuck my tongue out at him. But I didn't do that. I went by him, and I turned in and came in for family support. And I thought, this is sweet justice, you know. So sometimes the best thing to do is live by faith and obey the law. Don't speed up. If they don't want to do that, just let them go, and God will get them. So, you know, he's now $400 or $500 poor, but maybe he'll learn to control himself a little bit. But, you know, I kind of identify here with Habakkuk. No matter what happens, I'll rejoice in the Lord because he'll take care of you.